Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Tuesday, and we can't wait. We are packed today. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, our top 10, our final top 10 of the regular season. It'll give you some sense of who we like in the playoffs going forward. Joy Taylor is joining me on a robust, dynamic Tuesday. Joy, how are you?
I am doing better than Doug Peterson.
Not great 24 hours for Doug Peterson.
having a rough go.
Philadelphia Eagle head coach. Let's start with that. You would never go to a restaurant three straight times, get bad service, have spotty food, and go, that's a well-run restaurant. You would never go to a car dealership and buy three straight cars and their lemons and think that is really a well-run car dealership. But there's a weird thing about sports and loyalty, and you put the city's name on the uniform. And let's be honest about the Philadelphia Eagles, and we sort of predicted this, didn't we? They couldn't handle a little success. We've all had the loser brother-in-law, coworker, family member. They make a little lettuce, job promotion. 2 years later, they're a bigger mess than they've ever been. Lot of lottery winners end up selling off the timeshares and jet skis now, don't they? Philadelphia is now just Dallas, but has worse weather. They're just loud. This morning, I was doing a loud meter in the NFL for our TV audience, and there is a striking similarity between the louder the teams, the more they underachieve. Jets, Cowboys, Browns, Eagles. Yes, the Steelers have been loud for several years, got quieter this year, but they've underachieved. And the quietest teams in the league, what a shock. Buffalo, Baltimore, for most of the New England dynasty, for the record. You didn't hear a lot of stories breaking. It was the very end when it unraveled that you did. For all the stars Tampa Bay Buccaneers have, Gronk and Brady, Antonio Brown, they've got all Mike Evans, all sorts of stars. The only one we ever hear of is Bruce Arians, talks about once every 2 weeks, and we have to comment on it. They're pretty quiet. Let's just move the Philadelphia Eagles from well-run operation to loud operation. Here's the latest story. Multiple players were shocked and outraged that Doug Peterson, the coach, benched Jalen Hurts in the middle of a competitive game. One player, offensive starter Jason Kelce, questioned the coach directly on the stunning decision. According to this story, the owner or the GM, Howie Roseman, may have ordered the benching of Jalen Hurts to get somebody involved from the bench to tank and get a better draft spot. God, this is just the classic. They had a little success and they couldn't handle it. Everybody got a book deal, a car dealership deal. Everybody got a movie role. Everybody was at the parade, drank a little too much, hung over for the last 3 years. Because this is what Philadelphia is. It's funny, New England had a dynasty for 20 years and they were adults the whole time. Philadelphia won a Super Bowl. They started lecturing everybody on how to win. Remember that? You got to have fun in this league. Not really. You got to win in this league. That's what New England did for 20 years. You did 1 year. Since the Super Bowl, here's what Philadelphia is. A losing team. 22 wins, 25 losses, and a tie. That's in a bad division. That's not in the NFC West or the AFC South with all those quarterbacks. That's in a division where Washington and the Giants and Dallas have had chaos. Just say this out loud. Last 3 years, losing team, lot of noise, quarterback controversy, and no cap space next year. Sound like a good restaurant? If I said bad menu, terrible service, lot of complaints with the health board, sound like a well-run restaurant? If I said bad service department, lots of lemons, weak sales staff, sound like a good car dealership? Philadelphia's Dallas with worse weather. That's what they've become. Cap space issues. I mean, the last time they drafted a Pro Bowler was Carson Wentz, and now he doesn't like the organization. What a mess. Doug Peterson taking his future star quarterback, Jalen Hurts, pulling him out of a winnable game so that he can get a third stringer reps. By the way, I heard this yesterday on Sports Talk Radio. My ears were bleeding. Some guy called a Sports Talk Radio station. You know, they put in Nate Sudfeld to just get a spark. What? He'd been at practice for 3 years. If you're an NFL head coach, practice lets you know who can play, not just games. If you thought Nate Sudfeld was going to give you some dynamic athletic spark over Jalen Hurts, you should be fired for that. For that alone, Philadelphia. All right, so, you know, Warren Buffett's a legendary stock picker in America. He's one of the most successful. And his whole theory is buy value. When stuff's beaten down and everybody no longer wants it, that's when you go in and buy it. It works that way in real estate. A lot of the richest people, you know, recessions are garage sales for the rich and well-prepared. Stuff gets beaten down, loses its value, but it's still at its core principle very solid. That's when you buy it. So Jason Garrett's interviewing for the Chargers job, and I can just hear it today. I went on Twitter for 5 minutes. Oh, my God. And a bunch of know-nothings on Twitter were telling you how bad Jason Garrett was. Let me just throw this at you. Jason Garrett's winning percentage is 56% in the NFL. Bill Parcells is 57. And Jason Garrett did it with a meddling owner and his two quarterbacks. One was undrafted and one went in the fourth round. Sound like a guy who can't coach? A Princeton grad from the Ivy League, a former NFL quarterback with three division titles, with an undrafted quarterback, a fourth-round quarterback, and a meddling owner. What Jason Garrett needs is a new PR person. He doesn't need to be a better coach. Here's Jason Garrett. Here's Jason Garrett's offensive ranks as coach of the Dallas Cowboys. 9 years. Points per game, sixth. Yards per game, sixth. Passer rating, sixth. Yards per play, second. You're telling me that guy can't coach? By the way, he had constant drama. Jerry drama. Dez drama. Zeke drama. I mean, it's a turnstile of outspoken players, holdouts. First of all, it's hard to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Texas is a state that loves football, has unrealistic expectations, and there's a lot of money and egos. It's why the Texas Longhorns and the Dallas Cowboys always seem to be changing coaches. They look like the world's best jobs, but with the Longhorns and with the Cowboys in this glamorous, well-heeled state, it's very attractive, right? You fly into Dallas, you see 9 high school football stadiums. They look like colleges. Football's big. There's expectations. There's lots of ego. There's lots of money. The Longhorns can never quite get the program right. There's a reason. Unrealistic expectations. They just fired a coach who had the same record as Dabo Sweeney 4 years at Houston, or 4 years at Clemson. First 4 years at Clemson, first 4 years at Texas, Dabo and Tom Herman, same record. The difference is Tom Herman, 4-0 in bowls, Dabo 2-2. Cowboys are hard to coach. They've had the first 33 years of their existence, they had two coaches, Jimmy Johnson and Tom Landry. And everybody's compared to those two. And everybody in Dallas hates their coach, not named Tom Landry or Jimmy Johnson. They didn't even like Parcells, who's a top 5 coach in my lifetime. They don't have a real general manager. They don't have a real president. Jerry's the owner. Jerry's the GM. Jerry's the president. You think this is easy to coach? I'll say it again. Jason Garrett, look at his offensive numbers for the last 9 years. Now he gets Justin Herbert, a capable real GM. The Spanos family are non-meddling owners. They don't spend the big money like Jerry, but they don't meddle. And for the record, I don't think it's a, you know, outside of playing Mahomes a couple times a year, there's a lot of dysfunction in that organization. So this reminds me of Les Miles. Everybody bagged on Les Miles. So LSU fires Les Miles, who's winning 10.5 games a year because he can't beat Nick Saban. By the way, nobody in the SEC can beat Nick Saban. Maybe nobody in the country can beat Nick Saban except occasionally Clemson. So they fire him, and now they got Ed Orgeron. He won a national title and won 77% of his games. They fire him. because he's a little quirky. Well, they hire Ed Orgeron, who's even quirkier, and he wins 76% of his games. And I predict he won't be there in a year. Like, at some point, Les Miles and Jason Garrett just need better PR people. But they can both coach. You win 10 games a year in the SEC, you're a good coach. But everybody in the SEC can't beat Saban. Everybody's firing everybody. The history of LSU football, they win on average about 9 games. Les Miles won 10, won a national title, beat Saban a couple times, out the door. So I'm telling you, as a value stock, Jason Garrett with Justin Herbert, you don't have a lot of ego. They have a real GM, non-meddling owner, Justin Herbert, all sorts of stars. This idea that Jason Garrett can't coach is silly. I mean, say what you want, but his first year with Daniel Jones got better at the end of the year, and Daniel Jones is not great, but he got a lot better, stopped all the turnovers. It's crazy. Sometimes some of these coaches need better PR people. They're fine. There's just some, like, thing out there. Oh, they can't coach. Oh, they just this. Oh, the Rooneys with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin have had a lot of disappointing seasons together. A lot of drama and a lot of disappointing seasons, but they just don't fire them. I mean, let me ask you. You watched the Dallas Cowboys this year. First year without Jason Garrett, did they look better coached? You tell me. Did they look better coached? Not the team I saw. That's not what I saw. Coming up next, Joe Judge of the Giants said something yesterday, but it's not even what he said. Well, it is kind of what he said. But he stole a page from somebody he knows very well, Nick Saban. It's brilliant. It's what smart politicians do. It's what Nick Saban does. It's really brilliant. Not just what he said, but when he said it. And I'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, better known, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to www.blackriflecoffee.com/herd, 20% off your purchase. Your first purchase. Join their coffee club. Good to have you in today. So, Joe Judge yesterday ripped the Philadelphia coach, Doug Peterson. But in the process of doing that, that's what everybody in the media is going to see and talk about. But it's much greater than that. So Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur are not terrible coaches. They're weak culture creators. When Barry Alvarez took over Wisconsin, literally it was one of the worst 5 college football programs in the country. Now it's one of the best 10. He's now the athletic director. He did not change the locker rooms. He said, no, love our locker rooms. We're going to learn to love ourselves. That was the culture change. It was about Wisconsin football. It wasn't about fancy stuff. We should be proud of who we are. It's a state that produces good high school football, good college football. Be proud of who we are. And Pat Shurmur and Ben McAdoo, I don't know if they're bad coaches. They're very good coordinators, but they were never able to create a culture. That's what Brian Flores has done in Miami. It's what Sean McDermott's done in Buffalo. What Sean McVay changed the culture in with the LA Rams, not just the playbook. So Joe Judge, it appears to me, is very good at culture creation. He's coached with Belichick and Nick Saban, 2 of the all-time greats. So when Judge comes out to criticize Doug Peterson, what it is an opportunity that he uses brilliantly to spread his gospel about what the Giants are all about.
There's a number of sacrifices that have been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
That's not just about criticizing the Eagles. He is defining to free agents. He is defining to his locker room, I'm here for you. The best I've ever seen at it is Nick Saban. We sort of laugh at it, but 2 to 3 times a year, Nick Saban finds an opportunity to recruit to the nation without visiting your home. He'll find a crevice, an opportunity. He'll go to the podium and he'll spread his gospel. He did it a couple years ago. It's my favorite bit about a player he used to coach at Michigan State.
Well, I'm going to give a speech right now about this. Like, where do you want him to be? Guy makes a mistake. Where do you want him to be? You want him to be in the street? Or do you want him to be here graduating? You know, when I was over there at the Nagurski, Mohsin Muhammad, who played 15 years for the Carolina Panthers, played for me at Michigan State. Everybody in the school, every newspaper guy, everybody was killing a guy because he got in trouble and said there's no way he should be on our team. I didn't kick him off the team. I suspended him. I made him do stuff. He graduated from Michigan State. He played 15 years in the league. All right, he's a president of a company now. And he has seven children, and his oldest daughter goes to Princeton. So who was right?
That wasn't just about the player. That was talking to every mom and dad in North America who has a really good football player. You come to Alabama, I'll be tough on him, but I'll support him if he makes a mistake, because you're asking him to go 800 miles from home. And mom and dad wonder, what if our son makes a mistake? The smart coaches, Saban wouldn't just walk to a podium and talk about that story without an opportunity. Joe Judge wouldn't go out and just talk about how great he is as a coach and his culture, or Blas Peterson, without an opportunity. The really smart coaches and leaders in this country see these little openings, and they go to the microphone, and guys like me talk about it for hours. They get hundreds of millions of YouTube and Facebook views, and they're defining publicly their culture. That's Nick Saban recruiting to America without having to visit any state, without having to leave his office. It's free recruiting, an unbelievable message. And Joe Judge on the free agent market, spreading his gospel. That's why he'll win. Shermer McAdoo didn't. They could coach. They couldn't spread the gospel. They didn't have the ability, at least at this point in their career, to create a culture. And that's what I see Joe Judge doing. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, I love that so much.
Nick Saban.
Both of them are just
my last day
excellent.
On the air. I'm going to do 100 Nick Saban bites and talk about each one. That will be my last show.
You do like Nick, like a splice of Nick Saban, some Mike Tomlin, sprinkle in some John Gruden's, just all-time great sound bites. Okay, bad news for the Browns. They have announced that head coach Kevin Stefanski has tested positive for COVID-19.
Can't coach.
He will not be available for Sunday's playoff game against the Steelers. And special teams coordinator Mike Prefer will serve as acting head coach. Two additional coaches and two players have also tested positive. They are reportedly tight ends Drew Petzing, defensive backs coach Jeff Howard, wide receiver Kadarryl Hodge, and guard Joel Bitonio. So offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt is expected to call plays.
This is not great.
This is rough.
They also
lost Olivier Vernon.
That didn't get talked about yesterday. Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon really are their defense.
He has nine sacks in the year. He's second on the team behind Myles Garrett. It's a huge loss for them.
So between Olivier Vernon and this news, the line even moved.
Yes. Fox Bet has Pittsburgh favored at 5.5 now.
Was 4. It's 5.5. I said yesterday on that Walk the Line show I do, or Talk the Line, I said yesterday my two favorite bets on the playoffs were Rams plus 4.5. Seahawks can't score on anybody, okay? And they just beat the Rams. So the Rams plus 4.5 and the Steelers minus 4. It even at minus 5.5, I like Pittsburgh in this game. It's unraveling for the Browns.
Because of my emotional ties to Pittsburgh, I'm scared of this game still. Just because of the repercussions of the Browns possibly beating the Steelers in a playoff game. But this is not looking good for the Browns. That's a lot for them to overcome. It was already a tall task, considering the way that they played against the Steelers backups last week. So this has gone from bad to worse for them in their first playoff game since 2002. So Washington won the NFC East and locked themselves into a wild card matchup with the Bucks. And Chase Young was walking off the field after the win Sunday and was heard yelling, "I'm coming. I want Tom." And that comment has definitely not been ignored by Bruce Arians.
He's a hell of a player. Obviously, you know, making him a captain as a rookie speaks volumes. We'll have our hands full, but you know, that it's one of those games where you better watch what you wish for.
I do think that this is great. This is like it's great for Tom.
Well, I think it's fun. Like Chase Young is saying, I love that a star rookie is saying to a Hall of Famer, like, I like that kind of trash talk. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to end well for Washington, but
Chase Young.
He is great.
Oh, my God.
Clearly.
He is fantastic.
Clearly have hit on that pick. I mean, we knew coming into the draft, he was really the one player in this draft that was a for sure thing. You usually only have about one or two of those single draft.
Like, maybe. Two yes. absolute hits. You know they're going to star.
And he is a star.
Yeah.
He's been tremendous. He's, as he said, he's a captain of the team already, a team that's gone through quite a bit over the past couple years. For him to come in as a rookie and be a leader like that is tremendous. We're all going to be watching this game because we want to see what Tom Brady is able to do in the playoffs. But, you know, the Bucs are favored by 8.5.
The NFL playoffs are here.
I know. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it Sunday night. I was like, man, what a tremendous accomplishment. And I know we still have the playoffs to get through, but what a tremendous accomplishment.
No bubble, national travel, young men, families. I'm honestly, like the NBA bubble and the NHL bubble, listen, you just wouldn't let people come in so you can control it. I am shocked at how well baseball at the end of the year did and how well the NFL did. These guys are all going home. They're going to cities where people are eating dinner outside.
There's so many factors, outside factors. And listen, the bubble was obviously insane, and it was a lot of pressure on everybody that was in the bubble.
Right.
But it was a very controlled environment. And they did an amazing job because, I mean, can you imagine how bad it would have been if someone had tested positive in
right.
there? I mean, it would have been a disaster. They did an incredible job. But what the NFL has done, I mean, it's amazing that we're here right now.
God.
It's remarkable. Finally, the Jets hired offensive-minded Adam Gase 2 years ago in the hopes that he would be able to groom Sam Darnold. That didn't work out the way they planned. So team CEO Christopher Johnson is looking for a more well-rounded coach. This time, he said, I don't much like the term CEO, but it does describe what we're looking for. We want a head coach that coaches the entire team and his staff. You don't have to be offensive. You don't have to be defensive. This is a coach for the entire team. That's very important for us looking forward. He said he didn't really like that Greg Williams was kind of in charge of the defense.
Yeah, well, there's...
I don't think that matters. It's just that Adam Gase is not a good head coach.
Well, there's... I think I talked about this with you last week, the term walk-around coach.
Right.
So in the NFL, Jimmy Johnson was known as a walk-around coach. Belichick is. It's not a specific side. They just walk around and they go unit to unit and they correct mistakes. Pete Carroll's known as a walk-around coach. Sean Payton's not. He's all in offense, lets the defense do their thing. So you can win both ways. But to your point, Adam Gase's issue, he struggles in relationships
right.
with coaches, with players.
With everyone.
With everyone. He just struggles in relationships.
Yeah, I don't think you're necessary. I think you should look for a well-rounded coach in that they have the ability to... Like, the Jets need someone who can build a culture.
Yes.
They're in a complete... rebuild.
Yes.
So they need someone who can do that. Every job opening that's available right now is not necessarily the case. Like, the Falcons do not need a culture rebuild. That's not what's necessary there. The Chargers don't need a culture rebuild. Like,
yeah.
there's a lot of pieces in place there. That's not the case with the Jets. They currently have 10 picks in the draft, 2 in the first round, and $68 million in cap space, second most behind Jacksonville. And they have sought to interview Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll, Arthur Smith, Matt Eberflus of the Colts, Brandon Staley of the Rams, and there'll be several more requests coming in the next few days.
I got to be honest with you, there's some pretty good candidates this year. Sometimes you have good candidate years and bad candidate years.
Well, that's good because there's a lot of jobs, too.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Peter King brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Joining us, NBCSports.com, Hall of Fame voter since 1992, and Peter King is joining us. You know, I said to start the show, what Jason Garrett needs is a better PR person because he won 56% of his games, Parcells at 57. And you can say what you want about Jason Garrett, who reportedly is up for the Chargers job, but we do this all the time. We just bail on people. And I'm like, time out. Meddling owner, 3 division titles. By the way, we went and gave you stats for 9 years. number two in yards per play in the NFL. I don't know. I look at Jason Garrett with the Spanoses, Tom Telesco, and Justin Herbert. I'm not sure you can do better. Am I wrong? I don't think that's a bad fit at all.
I don't think it's a bad fit, but, you know, look, the Chargers are casting a wide net. You know, I think a lot of times when people say, oh, Chargers want to interview Jason Garrett, Chargers want to hire Jason Garrett. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they want to fact find about Jason Garrett, and then they'll decide whether he's going to be on their very short list. The fact that he's getting an interview, I think, is very encouraging for him, but I don't take interview lists as being very important at this time of year. Because, look, I think it's the Jaguars are attempting to interview five different general managers, or it might be six. You know, the Falcons have cast a very wide net, both in GM and now coming up in coaches. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Usually I like to see who gets the second interview. You know, 2 years ago, the Browns interviewed a bunch of people, and then Freddie Kitchens and Kevin Stefanski got the second interviews. And it was very, very close division in the organization, and they hired Freddie Kitchens. So, you know, I want to see if somebody gets a second interview.
So I saw Chris Mortensen. We both know him, respect him well. He said he'd never gotten more feedback about what happened during an NFL game, negative feedback, than what Doug Peterson did. The one thing I didn't like is I do believe that Jalen Hurts, I thought it would have been a nice come-from-behind win for him against the potential playoff team. I think for young quarterbacks, those instances, those opportunities are rare. I didn't like them pulling him. There's also the league integrity stuff. Joe Judge fired back. What did your sources say? What did your people say the reaction to Doug Peterson benching Jalen Hurts and a winnable game became an unwinnable game?
I haven't talked to anybody who said they thought it was a good decision. There are sometimes clearly, look, they love, in that organization, they love Nate Sudfeld. You know, going back to 2017, 2018, he's always been a very trusted backup soldier. So now in a meaningless game, Doug Peterson wanted to do him a solid and give him some time. And I get that. The biggest problem is you've got two teams in the NFL who are on the precipice of making the playoffs. And I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, they got bad records. I don't care if they're 1-15. They were both on the verge of making the playoffs. And Doug Peterson put a guy in the game who hasn't played football in 105 weeks or in a football game. And I just thought it was terrible. If there is anything like an unwritten honor code among coaches in the NFL, he broke it.
Yeah. Are you, in basketball, we've seen it multiple times where LeBron James not only goes to an organization and they win, but the organization he leaves unravels. Brady just did a LeBron where New England lacks some offensive personnel. I'm almost shocked, Peter, how they went 12-4 last year and how in God's name they were a top 10 offense. Has the divorce been as, I don't even think I can get my arms quite around how good Brady has been with no OTAs in the preseason camp. The dire consequences for New England and the elevation, Tampa's now an 8-point playoff favorite. Are you a little shocked by how pro-Brady this divorce went?
Well, Colin, I think you're assuming that if Brady stayed in New England, they'd have won 11 games and found a way into the playoffs. I don't necessarily think that. The New England Patriots, it's either 1, 2, or 3, have either the worst, second, or third worst skill position group in the NFL. That's Bill Belichick's fault. Bill Belichick, the general manager. When I sat with Brady 1 year ago last night after the wild card loss to Tennessee, I just, you know, he was just despondent. And he was, he said all the right things, but you could just tell, okay? You could just tell watching him, watching his body language, he was disgusted with what had happened in New England. And I think now in retrospect, as I look back on that night, that 10 minutes I spent with him that night, that was Tom Brady basically saying, I can't deal with no talent around me anymore. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, the Bucs are 8-point favorites in a playoff game this weekend, because the combination of Tom Brady still with something left and a great skill position group, you're going to be a heavy favorite in a playoff game.
So Kevin Stefanski is out coaching this week. It's starting to unravel. Olivier Vernon's injury. Kevin Stefanski can't coach. You know, the good news in Cleveland never seems to last very long. It does feel like, to me, it makes Pittsburgh a prohibitive favorite. You tell me, how fluid could a situation be with no head coach in the sideline, especially a new guy? He's not Belichick. He doesn't have the same coordinators for 9 years. This just feels like doom to me. Am I hyperbolic here?
I mean, it's not good, especially you're playing on the road. You're playing against a team that has had your number over the years in the Steelers. And this was a 2-point win at home against Mason Rudolph, against that team. And a 2-point conversion away, maybe from playing in overtime. And now you're playing Ben Roethlisberger, who was on the couch on Sunday. And so he'll be rested and ready to go in this game. And I guess the way I look at it, Colin, is I could see the Browns winning this game, but everything has to go well. And the one name you didn't mention, Joel Bitonio, the guard who's also going to be out with a positive COVID test.
Yep.
About 2 hours ago, I finished filling out my Associated Press All-Pro ballot. Joel Bitonio is my left guard. And so that's not just any loss. That's a loss of one of the best players on the team. So it isn't just the coach. It's the loss of a very difficult-to-replace player.
By the way, finally, Urban Meyer to Jacksonville rumors are hot and heavy. Do you buy him? What do you think of that?
I mean, it strikes me because I know that Shad Khan has got a pretty tight circle around him. It strikes me that somebody in Meyer's camp, wittingly or unwittingly, got this out. And look, Colin, I'll just say the same thing. I would love to interview Urban Meyer for an NFL head coaching vacancy, but I would probably spend the majority of my time in the interview saying, you left coaching for various reasons at age 45, 46, and 54. You know, why should we think that you won't be another Nick Saban? A guy who came in to save the Dolphins and 23 months later is asking Wayne Huizenga to be let out of his contract because he's miserable. So and Colin, this guy has been a great coach on the college level, Urban Meyer. He's never been less than 3 games over .500 in any year he's ever coached. And I just would ask this question, you know, how are you going to like losing in Jacksonville? Yeah. And I'm not saying you can't win in Jacksonville. You can. But you will undergo significant days and weeks and maybe months of losing. That's just the way it is. Can you take that? Are you ready for that? And are you in for 4 or 5 or 6 years at least? Or at the first sign of 2-14, are you out?
Yeah. Great. It's really legitimate points. And I know Urban well, and I love him. But the other thing that worries me a little bit is that, you know, Tom Coughlin was a wide receiver coach in the NFL for years. Then he went to college. Then he came back to the NFL. Same with Jim Harbaugh. He'd been a Raiders, like, quarterback coach or receiver coach. Matt Rhule had been in the NFL. Urban's a college guy. Even Saban, by the way, was with that Belichick staff in Cleveland. So he'd done some college.
Right.
Yeah, I do worry about when a guy's just strictly college. Then he goes to the NFL because, man,
the game is different.
Yeah.
The game is different. The rules are different.
Yep.
It's frustrating. You can sit at Ohio State and Florida and have a great recruiting class just as a matter of course.
Yeah.
In the NFL, nobody cares. You can draft Trevor Lawrence, but other than DJ Chark and James Robinson, can you put enough great players around them, great players, to win 10 to 12 games every year? It's a challenge. Ask NFL coaches.
Yeah. Ask Belichick this year. NBCSports.com. Peter Kring. Great seeing you on a Tuesday, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Colin.
By the way, there are six NFL job openings. I do think there's one that is clearly better than all the others, and I don't think it's that close, and I'll explain it coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So there are six job openings in the NFL, and I'm reading a lot of people are ranking the job openings. That's kind of the default column over the next couple days. You know, what's the best job? What's the worst job? It's very rare when you take over a job. Usually you take over a team that's a mess. It's very rare you take over a team and you could be a top five college football team in 1 year. That's why the Texas Longhorns job is a great job. That doesn't become available. Big brand. They had three of the last 4 years great recruiting. Weaker conference outside of Oklahoma, TCU. Steve Sarkisian should win 10 games next year, minimum. That's the Chargers. The rest of these, there's six job openings. Five are because they're bad. One coach got fired, Anthony Lynn, because he couldn't hit the ceiling. It's not about the floor. Five of the job openings are Houston's at the floor. Jets are at the floor. Jacksonville's at the floor. The Chargers, hey, we just got a guy that couldn't get to the ceiling. Same with Tom Herman. He went 4-0 in bowls. They wanted better. What you want in a job, this is why the Chargers job is easily the best job. You want a non-meddling owner, check. You want a star quarterback, check. And you want cap and roster flexibility. I think Atlanta's a decent job, but they're in cap hell. You are trapped with Matt Ryan for 2 years. You're trapped with Julio Jones. They have bloated defensive contracts and can't stop anybody. So that job, I get Matt Ryan I like, but you're in cap hell. Houston, same thing. You got no draft picks. You're in a bad cap space, and you got a lot of making up to do. And you don't have the draft picks to make up for the defensive side of the football. So Jacksonville's got Trevor Lawrence. What else? When's the last time in your life you said, Jags, great job? Hasn't been a great job. I mean, Tom Coughlin for about an hour made it look like a good job, but it's not a great job. I can work around everything. I can work. Like what happened with Matt LaFleur. The idea that Matt LaFleur got a job in a stable organization with Aaron Rodgers and a dysfunctional Bears, historically dysfunctional Lions, historically dysfunctional. That's why he's 26-6 in 2 years. You don't get jobs like that. You don't get the Texas job. You don't get the Green Bay job Matt LaFleur got. You don't get the Chargers job. You got the quarterback. The owner doesn't meddle. Your cap and roster is a win-now roster, and there's flexibility. They're not paying anybody except like Joey Bosa massive money. And you would pay Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, you would pay them massive money. So I don't even think it's close. Like I think it's the best job. I don't even think there's really a second. Like Jets, owners, hard pass. Jacksonville, outside of Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't played an NFL game, what do I know? Houston, dysfunctional. Atlanta, cap problems. I don't think it's that close, to be honest with you. You know, the other thing, you know, talking to Peter King about that he said a year ago today he had a discussion with Tom Brady, and he was despondent over the lack of pieces. What that comment really is telling you about Brady is Brady didn't want to leave. Like if you sat down with your divorce attorney and you were despondent over what had happened to the relationship, that means 3 years ago, 3 years prior, you loved the relationship. It'd be one thing if you hated her or you hated him, but if you were despondent what happened to her or what happened to him, you're still in love. But you just can't, you can't see sunlight on the horizon. When Peter King's telling, you know, Brady's telling Peter King that, he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave. But New England couldn't draft offensive pieces, and they can't. They have not drafted a Pro Bowler at a skill position since Gronk. He retired and unretired. I mean, that's a long, long time ago. All right, the Herd hierarchy, the top 10 teams in the NFL, our final regular season version of it, next.